Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. Your inquiries were full and your studies were also well fulfilled. And there is no doubt that you have prepared a great and wonderful work, the Mahabharata, which is full of all kinds of Vedic sequences elaborately explained. Purport. The despondency of Vyasadeva was certainly not due to his lack of sufficient knowledge, because as a student, he had fully inquired about the Vedic literatures, as a result of which the Mahabharata is compiled with full explanation of the Vedas. Vandeyam Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Om Jnanat Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Sadati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhyayvacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare First of all, I would like to thank all of you for allowing me to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam here and to visit this wonderful temple. Jigyasitam susampannam apite mahadadbhutam kritavan bharatam yastvam sarvartha paribrahmitam. We are picking off where we left yesterday. Yesterday we see Narada Uvacha, Narada Muni saying, are you satisfied by identifying with the body or the mind as objects of self-realization? And one theme which came yesterday, which was about being cheerful in bhakti, and I think one another aspect of our human life, self-esteem, that also came up. I found the discussion yesterday very stimulating. Sankarshan Maharaj, he gave a very nice class. And someone was very candid enough to say that if you are saying after 50 years of chanting and you didn't feel the bliss, so does this process work? And someone in the audience was also honest enough, he asked, did I make anyone morose? Did I disappoint anyone? And one Prabhu said, yes. But that was a very honest inquiry. So, I thought I'll just touch upon those subjects, topics again. As we discuss today's verse, Narad Muni is saying that you were a good student, Vyasadeva. You did the proper inquiries, and there is no doubt that you have prepared a great and wonderful work. Now, this is, we are discussing the compilation of the Mahabharata. The world as we know has been called by various names, and Bharat is one of the illustrious kings, the son of Rishabhdev, and so popular, so effective as a leader. We can't even imagine our leaders today, the politicians today, measuring up to even a fraction of what these people, these great personalities, they were. And of course, before we begin to lament that, now I understand why I am not so happy, because of these rotten leaders. There is another adage which says that people get the leaders they deserve. So this part of the responsibility also is on us. In one discussion, Prabhupada said, why do you complain? He was talking to American boys who were saying that, we don't want to go to the Vietnam War. And Prabhupada said, it's your leaders. You elected them. And now if they take some decisions like that, why complain? And of course, in democracy, you say, well, I didn't. I voted for someone else. But then, in a majority, if the majority says 2 plus 2 is 5, then you become an idiot for pointing out the truth. So in that sense, these are the defects of democracy. But at the same time, it is the best of a bad bargain. So, life in Kali Yuga is actually complicated. It is pointed out, I honestly confess, I am not any fan of social media, but Facebook has this option, who are you, what gender? So male, female, other. And there is one more option, it's complicated. Is it that complicated to know which gender I am? That's what things have come to. So, we live in this world. You may say, I didn't choose to be born in this century or whatever. In one sense, you did. Your prarabdha karma, your choices were influential. But do we get a chance to do something about it? You may say, like sometimes I have this internal dialogue with myself. All right, I made a mistake. I appeared in this family, I came in this world, and now somehow I've been introduced to Bhakti Yoga. What do I do now? Is it an empowering process or is it a disempowering process? This self-esteem thing comes up again and again. Now this is the year 2000. I was doing some kind of observation about, there was a corporate program and I was very keen on doing that. Now of course I'm doing something else. But doing a lot of reading for that, those particular kind of programs. The year 1990 to 2000, in 10 years, there were 1,000 books on leadership alone. There is almost 100 books a year just about how to become an effective leader, how to lead effective teams, and of course, how to grow in corporate life, how to have self-esteem. So this is a very popular subject. almost every airport that I've been in the last 2 months, there is this Harvard Business Review section. Tips on how to manage teams, how to get the most of yourself, how to protect yourself from abuse by others. So, just yesterday at JFK Airport, I saw this, how to be mentally tough. So, if these guys are putting so much of money and research and producing things and they're selling, which means this is an interesting subject. So we'll begin with something which our acharyas have written about. This was a question discussed in many years ago in our Brahmachari class at Chowpatty. Why our acharyas lament so much? Oh, I am nobody. Not just nobody, I am like the biggest nobody. Sometimes devotees have this competition. I am lesser than you. Oh, I am lesser than you. I am lesser than a worm. I am lesser than a worm in stool. Oh, I am lesser than... So on and so forth, it goes on. Interestingly, one disciple wrote to Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, I'm worthless. And Prabhupada said, you are nothing of that. You are simply insignificant. So even while trying to show that, you know, how bad I am or how bad I was, even there the false ego kind of comes up and tries to make yourself a little bit special. So here we have Thakur Bhakti Vinod, one of his famous songs. I am always engaged in sinful activities. I am happy if I see someone miserable. I am miserable when I see somebody happy. And so why is it? Is it some kind of a distress party that you just... berate yourself or beat yourself? No. There's a big reason. And the reason is that humility actually has some value. And of course, the first thing which any newcomer, when he sees, when he joins a Hare Krishna feast, like Braj Bihari Prabhu from America, he was saying, the first time he understood what these guys say before prasad, they say, ah, sharira vidya jal, jadendri hata hai kal. This body is a network of illusion and this, why spoil your taste just before taking a feast? Why you should say so many nasty things about yourself? Of course, later he understood. Now this is, again, I'm quoting some psychological research. We don't believe in them totally. But we see that in the outside world, there are people who have that kind of an interesting attitude about trying to understand why do people do good to others? What's the reason? The technical name for this is altruistic. You normally want to do good for others. So this is the lady, she's driving in a car and she finds a dog, this is an American highway, on the highway, and she has a choice. Either save the dog or swerve to her right or left. She says, I actually don't remember what I did. But the only overwhelming sensation and feeling was to save this animal. So she swerved and she found herself on the opposite side of the road. And now she understood, I could be hit by the incoming traffic. This all happened in a split second. And then her engine died. She couldn't do anything. In that split second of the that moment, she saw someone stop his vehicle, rush towards her. It was a highway, but the other vehicle had not come yet. There was nothing in the sight, nothing visible. So he pushed her, and within 5 seconds, there was one vehicle which came very fast. So that could have certainly hit her. And then he calmed her. She shut her engine again. Somehow it started. And before even she could say thanks, this man went and back to his car and drove off. And that sparked a desire to understand, why do people do good to others? And then of course you can trust modern research to come up with some really weird kind of, not weird, but strange kind of discoveries. They say there is a amygdala, a kind of a part of our brain. And those who have that developed part of the brain, they are altruistic. They like to do good for others. And those who don't, they don't. So this is also a modern trend. If you're asked, why are you like that? Like in the ashram, if you say, Prabhu, you didn't do your cleaning today. Maybe I'm not made for this kind of thing. Yeah. This is typical Duryodhana logic. In the Mahabharata, when he's asked, can't you give up your animosity and cruelty towards the Pandavas? He said, interesting, I somehow cannot. Can't you think good of themselves? No. I don't know, maybe I am different. I don't like to do good for others. I like to do evil for others. Any reason? He says, kenapi devena. Maybe there is someone inside who is telling me to do that. A typical cop-out mentality. Maybe there is someone inside who is inspiring me. So, some of you must have read the Mahabharata, some of you might be knowing the story. I was surprised just recently, doing some serious understanding of what this whole story is. Duryodhana is the symbol of Kali Yuga. If you want to know what Kali does to people, or what it may do to you, if you are not careful, just read all of Duryodhana's dialogues in the Mahabharata. And you can get a very clear idea that this is exactly what this age can do. You may just go on with your mentality of so much of ambition, no question of any ethical attitude. For example, the Pandavas have been banished to the forest. They are staying for 12 long years. What happens if they are found out? Anyone knows? After 12 years, there is 1 year of staying incognito. And if you are found out, again 12 more years. So Duryodhana is sitting in his palace and is telling Karna, I'm not feeling happy nowadays. He says, what? You got the kingdom, you're the king, you're enjoying royal pleasures every day. What's the problem now? I'm not seeing the Pandavas miserable in front of me. He says, really? Alright, we'll do something about it. So Durvasa Muni is visiting with 60,000 followers. He says, we can do one thing. This person has a very short temper. The fuse is very short. You please him, he may say, ask any boon. You displease him, bam, some curse. He says, we'll please him here, give him all kinds of comforts. And when he says that, what should I do for you? Oh, please visit my cousins, they are in the forest. And sure enough, the Pandavas may not be able to serve them properly. They'll get cursed. He says, ha ha, this appeals to me. And that's what Duryodhana does. And of course, we know the story of how Krishna came and he asked for some small vegetable, and then just fast forwarding it. So That failed. Durvasa Muni had to, and his followers, they felt like so full, they cannot come back to eat, and then they left. Again, Duryodhana wanted to see how the Pandavas are miserable. So he goes there, he sees a Gandharva, a celestial being. At that time, the world was actually a special place. They used to visit sometimes. Nowadays, they don't, for obvious reasons. So there was some altercation. Hey, who are you? Hey, who are you? They start to fight, and the Gandharva defeats Duryodhana. And the Gandharva is saying, I have defeated the Kaurava dynasty. The Kauravas are nothing in front of me. They should do that, Kshatriyas. So they tell Yudhishthira Maharaj that this guy is bragging like that. He said, that's not true. We are also part of the Kaurava dynasty. If you remember in the Bhagavad Gita, sometimes Arjuna is called Kuru Nandana. Oh, beloved child of the Kurus. So it's not just the Kauravas or the Kuru dynasty. When the Pandavas are just for the sake of differentiation, they are called the sons of Pandu and they are called the Kauravas. And Yudhishthira Maharaj gives a very amazing kind of instruction. He says, Bhima, Arjun, Nakul, Sahadev, you go and defeat this Gandharva. In the Mahabharata, Bhima's logic is like shooting from the hip, straight. He says, what? This guy is doing our job. We should go and defeat the Gandharva? Why? So he says, no, you know what he said? He said he has defeated the Kauravas. And we can't take that. In front of the world, we are 105. Our internal arrangement is they are 100 and we are 5. That's all right. But I can't stand that. So Bhima just says whatever comes to his mind. Arjuna tries to reason. Nakula and Sahadeva are just meek and obedient. So we see these subtle flavors coming from the relationship. But the end is these brothers, they say, whatever you say. So they go and they defeat the Gandharvas. That the Gandharva is told that Gandharva means a celestial being from a higher planet. So he also says that, all right, I agree, I am defeated. And then Duryodhana, for the first time, he comes and touches the lotus feet of Yudhishthira and says, I am sorry. I am joking. He never did anything like that. When he realized that Arjuna and Bhima defeated this Gandharva and they have set me free, he became more miserable. He said, this is worse than death. So basically, a Kali Yuga infected mind can never be happy in any situation. That's a fact. So, coming back to our research, whether this part of our brain is developed or not. So what this lady did was, she said, let me go to the reverse side. What is the reverse of an altruistic mind? A serial killer. And she started researching them. And found out that most of them didn't have that developed part of the brain or whatever. So if the reverse is true, then what you have assumed, this is the mathematical logic people use, that let X be this, Y be this, let this be this. If it is not true, then this is not equal to that. So, this is not what interested me. What interested me was, when she found out people who had that altruism, and she asked them, this is a typical mundane kind of altruism. Somebody gave a liver to a stranger. It's possible nowadays. Organ donors or whatever. We are not going to that topic. We are just thinking about why there is a desire to do good for others
And the overwhelming quality which she found out was humility. These people were thinking, I don't think I did anything special. You gave so much of money to someone without any, like there are anonymous donors. How did this desire come? She found out these people couldn't explain clearly as to why they did good. So, humility is something which even the outside world also respects. They also know. And therefore, of course, in the Bhagavad Gita, we have Krishna putting amanitvam. The first ingredient for knowledge, 13th chapter, is humility. So, it is not just our acharyas are not psychologically strange that they lament of thinking oneself humble. It is an asset. One of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers, Bhaktirakra Sridhar Maharaj, he once gave an analogy. Krishna is the supreme positive. And if a jiva, you and me, we approach the supreme plus with another plus. My Lord, Radha Gokulananda, I chant rounds, well, average, better than this guy. He sometimes dozes, he sometimes checks his mobile phone. At least I am not like that. I am a little bit better than someone. So in case we have this kind of a positive, for those of you who have learned your physics, in magnetism, positive, what happens? Jai Shri Radha Gokulananda Sitaram Lakshmana Hanuman Bhakta Hanuman Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. So when positive confronts a positive, the bigger positive repels it. You are thrown away. And the opposite happens when you have a little bit of negativity. Now this negativity is not something that you are feeling I am bad or something like that. It is a honest declaration that when the acharya says I am low class, I am worthless, I am a sinner, they actually feel like that. Compared to what Krishna is giving, to that, compared to that, I am nothing. Shripad Ramanujacharya, he says that a pure devotee has two kinds of distresses. This point comes, hey, chant and be happy. How can you be chant and be distressed? But please try to carefully analyze what is that distress. He says the first distress of a Mahabhagavat is I am so incompetent. I should be doing so much. And I am not able to do that. For serving Krishna, for serving Krishna's parts and parcels. And the second is, why don't I have compassion for others? So these are the two distresses which hurt the mind of a pure devotee. And a jiva, a conditioned soul, also has distresses. But they come from attachment and false ego. Why did someone say I gave a very good class? Oh, that means he's my friend. Somebody says, I didn't like your singing yesterday. I'll see you later. So we make friends and enemies based on how somebody flatters us or somebody, this is my observation, I'm just offering you, see if it helps or if not, correct me. For some days, for unknown reasons, I'm very happy. I don't know why. And I can trace it down to some praise somebody has given. And sometimes for unknown reasons, I'm miserable. And it can be traced to somebody He has put a mirror in front of me. This is you. I don't like to see what I see in the mirror. So this I is the false ego. So, I'll just round up everything. In the Ramayana we are basically our track is of understanding humility, which is a key factor of those who are altruistic, those who want to do good to others. In the Ramayana, when Hanuman goes to fetch Mother Sita, that time his shape is like a small squirrel, small size. And he's offering Mother Sita, let me carry you, let me carry you. She says, well, I know that you are a bona fide servant of Ram and you have this desire to help me. Aren't you a bit tiny to take me? He says, oh, mother, don't worry about that. And he shows a gigantic form. She says, now I'm convinced that you can do. You're not just bragging. And of course, then she says, but I cannot touch any male except my husband. So Hanuman may say that, but you did. Ravana carried you. So apart from Ram, another male has touched you. She said, but that was against my wishes. And now, if you just carry me back to my Lord, I want the world to see the valor, the chivalry of my Lord. So therefore, I'll stay here. You just give him the message that I am pining, I am really in distress, and he should come as soon as possible. So that time Hanuman says this statement. He says, don't you worry. I am just one of the ordinary soldiers in Sugriva's army. That means what he meant was, everyone else is better than me. Now, is it a fact? For those of us who have read a little bit of Ramayana, Hanuman is Hanuman. Other monkeys, they said, we cannot jump so many 800 miles. Angada, Sugriva's son, says, I can. But you know, my worries, I cannot come back. And at that time, Hanuman is mum. He's not saying anything. So they are saying, why is Bajrangji not saying anything? So they realize that actually there is a curse on Hanuman. When he was a kid, he was so mischievous that the Srishis, they were very troubled. They loved him. At the same time, they were troubled by his pranks. So they cursed him. May you forget all that what you can do. May you forget about your own bodily strength. And then he became very well behaved. Sometimes the acharyas compare Hanuman's state of mind with what we all are. A jiva needs to be told, you are powerful. In what sense? You are Sachidananda, you are eternal, you are blissful, you are having all knowledge. Provided you stay as part and parcel of Krishna. So just like Hanuman was, that curse was taken away by those who helped him, you and me need to do this sadhana bhakti process. So Narad Muni, Bhishma, Pracheta, Dhruva, Prahlad, through the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, they tell us what we can actually achieve. You need to go through that process. And finally, of course, we have Srila Prabhupada, who is praying. Yesterday, Sankarshan Maharaj brought that point out. In his prayers from the Jaladuta, he is saying, Bhakti nahi bedo nahi naam khub bodo. He says, my Lord, I don't have bhakti. I don't have devotion. Beda nahi. I don't have knowledge. Bhakti Vedanta Nama Ebe Sarthak Koro. You now fulfill the purport of this name. Please, you sit on my tongue. You enter into my speech. You give me the potency to convey the message of Srimad Bhagavatam in this difficult part of this world. So, a Vaishnav, a pure devotee, he is the most altruistic person, isn't he? This world outside, at the most, they can try to save our dress, this body. Prabhupada's example, somebody is drowning, another person says, oh, I cannot save him, at least I will save his expensive coat. And then he brings it back to his relatives. Ah, your son, I didn't save him, but at least his expensive coat is saved. So that is, how useful is that? So a pure devotee who tries to save the souls from drowning in this material ocean, and this drowning means again sliding back, lose the human form of life, again back to the animal species. Neha bhikrama nashosti pratyavayo na vidyate. Svalpam api, even a small amount of endeavor, dharmasya trayate, it helps you, mahato bhayat, from the greatest fear. So, it is said that humility is not to think less of yourself, but to think of yourself less. Today's market for self-esteem and being very popular, or now this is a Harvard study which came 6 to 8 months ago. There are teenagers, now many of us are not, unfortunately. I was one about 35 years ago. God, how did that time pass by? Anyway, they spend 10 hours on social media. You might say, is it possible even? It is. For them, the millennials, so to say, 10 hours every day on social media. And what did they find out? These are the loneliest people in the world. You are connected digitally to 600 people, and even if you sneeze or even if you go to the washroom, you update your Facebook profile. If that's the kind of attention you are getting, how come you be lonely? This is the paradox. So this is a world of paradox. I just brought this point out that our acharyas are lamenting, oh, I wasted my life. I couldn't get Krishna. Just like Mahaprabhu was saying, I'm not a devotee. If I had some bit of devotion, I would have died. Now that doesn't mean death means bliss in Krishna consciousness. That's his mood. And Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami, this is the Antya Leela, a very confidential part of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Read it carefully, you'll understand. He's saying, outwardly he's miserable, internally he's blissful. Srila Prabhupada's godbrother, again I'm quoting him, he described Mahaprabhu's bhava as a golden volcano. Are you aware there is a volcanic eruption going on in Hawaii right now? That lava is coming out. So he's comparing Mahaprabhu's mind to be like that lava. But that golden volcano is a volcano of divine love. So internally, happiness to the max. Outwardly, these emotions come. In your and my life, maybe we may not be able to taste anything in this life. Possibly we may, but we are doing sadhana bhakti. But we keep these emotions high on a pedestal. These are not people who are unsuccessful in life. Rather, in that crying out that kind of emotion, they have actually tasted the bliss of Krishna Bhakti. So we have 2 minutes for any quick comments, corrections, or questions.